Let's go to 1 Peter 5:8. Good to have Brother Clary and company with us this morning. We're looking forward to hearing him the second part. 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober. That doesn't mean quit drinking and wake up. It just means stay awake. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Do we have any steadfast people? Steadfast in the faith. Not wishy-washy, not up and down, not I'll give this a try, and if it works, I'll stay with it. I'm talking about steadfast. You throw me into the fire, if he don't deliver us, we're still going to be delivered one way or another. Steadfast faith. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Everyone goes through trials. Say amen. But the God of all grace, the God of all grace, grace only comes from God. The devil has no grace. He is a liar and the father of it. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, say a while with me. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I want to take one particular part of this to key off of this morning, and about the suffering a while, and talk about it's worth your while. It's worth your while. Lord, we ask for your help this morning as we always need it. For without you, as you said, we can do nothing. But with you, all things are possible to them that believe. So help us to believe, God, that you can do and will do all things that's needful for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's been quite often the phrase has been used when someone asks you to do something. Perhaps you've used it this week. It ain't worth my while. If you hadn't used it, you'll use it pretty quick. That ain't worth my while. And I have a question for you this morning. What is your while worth? Let's put a value on your while. What is your while worth? What is your time worth? What is your effort worth? What is your energy worth? What is suffering worth? What are you willing to go through to get something? That ain't worth my while. Because the reason you say that is because you look ahead and say, what I got to go through to get that, it ain't worth my while. Well, I want to tell you, there may be some things in this life that the time it takes, the pain it takes, the suffering it takes to get something ain't worth your while. But everything that God called you to do requires suffering. And everything, let me tell you, every suffering and pain you go through, he said, the righteous shall suffer persecution. Forget it, you're going to go through it. But the Bible says he knows how to deliver the righteous out of all of their troubles. It's going to be worth your while to live for God. Hey, can you say amen this morning? Amen. Joseph had a dream, and we all know Joseph's dream, how his brother's going to bow down to his mom and dad going to bow down to him. But he did not know in the dream that he didn't see the pit. He didn't see the palace either. He didn't see the dungeon. He didn't see the lies. He didn't see the false accusations. And so sometimes you kind of wonder, well, Joseph, if you had caught him in the pit, you would have said, Joseph, is it worth your while now? You had this little stupid dream. Is it worth your while? You know what I think he'd have said? I don't know yet. I don't know yet. But the story's not ended yet. I'm still alive. And then he gets to the palace. And you say, is it worth your while? I don't know yet. I just don't know yet. But you ask him at the end, at the very end, when he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save many, the prosperity or posterity of many alive on the earth. He'd say, yes, it was worth my while. It was worth the pit. It was worth the lie. It was worth the betrayal to get to this. What is your focus on this morning? What are you looking ahead at? Are you looking at what you're going through and saying, it ain't worth my while? Or do you see beyond the pain, beyond the suffering, beyond the troubles that you have to go through and say, hey, everything that God has for me, I don't understand it all why I'm going through this, but I know God will make it worth my while. My Lord. It's that while that gets to us. Even David said, how long, O Lord, will you allow mine enemies to triumph over me and rejoice against me? How long, O Lord? And it's that suffering a while that we struggle with. And this is what really turns people away from finishing their journey, because it takes too long. Now, I've said before, if we could take a 6-week course to become a physician and be an MD, we'd all be in line. But when it takes 10 years, 13 years, you say, it ain't worth my while. But for those who finish, they're looking beyond all the pain and the suffering and being broke for 13 years to say, hey, in the end, it's going to be worth my while. And when you come to God, let me just tell you, you better look ahead. Don't look at what you're going to face. A lot of times when you come to God, things get worse before they get better. But in the end, I'm telling you, it'll be worth your while. It'll be worth your while. We have to understand that it is the trying our faith that worketh patience to makes it worth. Your patience is making it worth your while. I'm going to stick this thing out. I don't know when it's going to be over with, but I'm going to stick it out because I know that if God called me to this, which the scripture says, it's going to be worth my while. And too many times we get mentally stuck in the pit and then we get stuck up in the palace. You think about a car that's stuck in the ditch. And guys, anybody ever been stuck like me? I'm the only one ever been stuck. Anybody ever been stuck? And you get stuck in the ditch and you want to kick the tires. Stuck in the ditch. Just imagine with me this morning, someone is stuck in the ditch and on the side of the road. And you stop by there and say, hey, would you like for me to call for help? Help could be on the way. And all they do is they start telling you, hey, this other car came by me and pushed me over on the side of the ditch. And here I am, I'm stuck in the ditch. Would you like for me to call for help? Because the help could be on the way. Well, man, you don't understand. This guy, if I ever see that guy again, so help me, I understand that. But do you want me to call for help? Well, yeah, but you don't understand. They did me wrong. You just don't understand what they did to me. I understand that. But do you want me to call for help? How you get here is not important now. It's how you get out. How you got in the ditch is not important now. It's how are you going to get out. And if rehearsing it would reverse it, you would get out backwards. But rehearsing it will never reverse it. So let's call for help. Let's call for help and quit trying to talk about it and it never does any good. Let's just call for help. I know the help. I know my helpmeet is on the way. God is my helper. He's an ever-present help in the time of need. Hallelujah. I like real help. I like real help. I don't like people say, you need some help? Yeah, I need some help. Well, I'll look for somebody to help you. Give me some real help. Roll up your sleeves. Help me change this tire. Help me get back on my feet. Help me recover from this. Real help. We all have an adversary. And the Bible says, Peter was telling us to be sober and be vigilant. If anybody ought to know about being sober and be vigilant, it would be Peter. Look how he got caught with his guard down. Told the Lord, I'll never betray you. And that night wasn't over. He was a goner. Be sober, be vigilant, because you have an adversary. His name's the devil. He's like a roaring lion that walks about seeking whom he may devour. Do you remember the Bible talks about Samson met a lion in the way and he slew that lion and he had nothing in his hands? Well, I happen to have that video clip. I'd like for you to watch it this morning of Samson meeting that lion. Let's see if we can play that video clip this morning. Uh-oh. Now we know how Samson beat that lion, huh? No, that's my lion there. He got old roaring at me. He can't even roar anymore. Your lion needs to get old. Your devil needs to get old roaring at you. He can't even roar anymore. You need to wear your devil out. Every time he's in your way, you just resist him, defy him, and before long he gets up and goes about his way. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Amen. What the lion wants to do is to instill fear inside of you by his roar, his loud roar. There's two things, two fears that all of us were born with. Can you help me name both of them? Anybody? Name number one. What is it? Two things. A baby's born with a fear of death. No. What's a baby born with? Fear of what? No, not a fear of hunger. They don't have a fear of hunger. They're hungry, but they don't have a fear of it. Huh? No, they're born with two fears. No? No? All right. You go look it up. Go to Dr. Google. Look it up. And go put the two fears babies are born with. One is the fear of loud noise. The fear of loud noise. Ariel's not here this morning, but she could tell you she's scared of a vacuum cleaner. She'll grab hold of you like a monkey. I mean, fear. The babies are born fear of a loud noise and fear of falling. They come with a fear of falling. They'll jerk and they're not even falling, right? That's the two fears that babies are born with. Now listen close. Everything else is acquired. Everything else you taught them. Somebody else taught them. Oh, I'm scared to go over this bridge. Oh God, this bridge may collapse. And you got your baby. Oh, start praying. Because if we get across this bridge, oh God. And you know what? You instill fear in them. You instill that fear in them. I don't know what makes a lady when they see a mouse get up on something and start a roach. And they pass that on to the next little girl. But this fear of loud noises, the devil goes about roaring, making a loud noise to instill fear in you. But I read a scripture that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me just say this. Louder is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Stronger is he that is in you that is in the world. Mightier, he's always the er. He's greater than him in every way. A lion roars, just for more information that I got out of Dr. Google. A lion roars at 114 decibels, which is 25 times louder than a gasoline lawnmower. 25 times. Now, that old dude there that we saw, no, I wore him out a long time ago. Amen. He wants to instill fear in you and overcome you. The devil is the master of deceit. The Bible talks about, we may have time to read the scripture, about the wiles of the devil, which means the tricks and the deceit of the devil. He beguiled Eve in the garden. He tricked her. And the Bible says she was deceived. Adam was not, but she was deceived and ate of the forbidden fruit, and down they went. The Bible tells us to resist him. Resist him. And let me tell you what you normally have to resist when you resist the devil is the urge to do what he wants you to do. That's what you have to. I'd like to give them a lay my holy. I heard that word, lay my Holy Ghost down and leave it, and I pick my Holy Ghost back up. It don't work that way in South Louisiana. If you lay it down, you may never get it back. You have to resist the urge to do what he's bidding you to do. If Eve could resist the urge, it was a fruit to make one wise. It was beautiful. It was all these things. And she could have resisted the urge, she'd still be in the garden. And that's what the devil does. He tries to draw you in by urging you at the moment. What did he do to Jesus? He took him in his weak moment after 40 days of fasting, and Jesus had to resist what? The urge. The urge to turn the rocks into stone. The urge not to say, okay, I'll worship you. This is too hard. 1 Peter 5:9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I wonder if we really understand what faith is. Yes, we can quote the scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith is to be fully persuaded that it's still worth your while to believe in what you believe in. Against all hope, it's still worth my while. It may not pay dividends now, but it pays it later. It's still worth my while. That's what faith is. And many times people say, oh, you got such courage. Let me tell you something. Courage does not mean the absence of fear. It does not mean I have no fear. You can wear a t-shirt that says no fear and be the first one running. It does not mean to say you have courage. Now listen, here's your definition. Write this down. Courage is a mental judgment that something you believe in is more important than what you fear. Courage is the mental judgment that something you believe in is more important than what you fear. So I'm going to face it anyway. Scared? Yes. Terrified? Yes. But what's on the other side of this is more important than what's between me and it. There are several things. I almost taught a sermon on this, but I'll just give it to you now. And I won't have to do it. There's several things that a little bit goes a long ways. And one of them is encouragement. Just a little encouragement. You can do it. God's got his hand on you. You'll get through this. This too shall pass. It doesn't take but a little bit of encouragement to someone who's discouraged, and it can go a long way. It won't go the distance maybe, but maybe it goes long enough to them to get encouraged again and again. You know what pastors do? We keep propping y'all up. That's all we do. I just keep encouraging to the next trial, and then I have to encourage you through that trial and the next trial until you wear your line out. That's all we do. We keep encouraging you. That, look, God's got his hand in you. God's in this thing. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, and we keep encouraging you because it's easy to get discouraged along the way. Another thing that go a long way, just a little bit of love, right? Just a little bit of love. Goes a long way. And there's several things, but that's just a few things that just a little bit of, because the Bible says if little is much, if God is in it. Amen. It doesn't take much to go a long ways. Can I tell you that even Jesus had fear? Would you believe me when I tell you he was man just like you were man and subject to like passions, the Bible says, as we were? That's what the book says. He had fear. He had a fear of the pain of the cross. He talked about it as he kind of, I'm going to, you know, 3 days, this temple's going to be rebuilt. The disciples didn't understand him, but he knew what was coming. But finally, that day came, and he realized that the moment had come. He said, my time has come. Earlier, my time has not come, but now my time has come. What time? Time of pain, time of suffering. It has come. The days of miracles now will be over. And the last miracle will be the resurrection, if you will, after the cross. And anytime you decide that you're going to find another way to do something, it lets me know you have fear of it. See, Jesus in the garden, he began to pray, Father, if it be possible. The Bible says he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. That sweat is a sign of fear. I was a dentist. I know. You get that little bitty needle out and people pop out in sweat. They're afraid of that. Quiet. Jesus was sweating profusely because of the fear of the pain of the cross. So he began to say, Father, if there's another way, could we do it like another way? That lets me know you have fear of something. When you start looking for another way to do it, that's easier. But he quickly caught himself and said, nevertheless, he had to resist the urge and say, this will be worth my while. This will be worth my while. This will be worth the pain and the suffering that I have to go, because I'm going to look beyond the cross to a place beyond Calvary, and I see you and the rest of the world, and I am going, it's going to be worth my while to redeem you. The pain I go through won't last long, but the pain I save you from is everlasting. Hell, it's worth my while. Jesus hung on the cross, and when he said it was finished, what he was saying is, it's been worth my while. The pain is finished. The suffering is over. And the Bible says, and then he gave up the ghost. And now here are you and I living today in Hebrews 12 and 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the glory, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. It's going to be worth my while. Despising the shame, I hate to go through it, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. But no matter, the joy that lies on the other side will be worth my while of the pain and the suffering that I have to go through. For consider him. What, I know you're going through something, but consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know why people aren't here today? Not worth my while. You know why people aren't in church today? They got other things to do that they say, that ain't, going to church ain't worth my while. That's what you're telling God by not coming to his house. That ain't worth my while, because you got another while that you're doing. That shows God that's more worth your while than coming here or to church or to living for God. Face your fears. To face your fears will take courage, but courage will not take away your fears. 1 Peter 5 and 10 said, but the grace, the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. This is a progressive process of God calling you into eternal glory. He said, first, there's suffering. There's suffering. There's five steps, if you want to write them down, five steps to eternal glory. And they're right here. And it's a progressive thing. He said, number one, you have to suffer a while. He made it clear, if you don't suffer with me, you don't rise with me. You can't just rise with me and not suffer with me. You have to be, Paul said, oh, that I may know him through the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. You have to suffer with me. Suffering is the time when people determine, is it really worth my while? This is the stage where you mentally decide to either do it or don't do it. Anybody can live for God when there's no trials. Even the devil came to the Lord and said, you see that your guy Job? Oh, yeah, man, he's upright in all of his ways. He said, yeah, anybody can be upright when he's got all that stuff. When everything's going perfect, oh, yeah, it's easy. He said, take that stuff away from him and let's see what he does. And the Lord did, and it took Job a while to say, this is worth my while. But in the end, he said, it was worth my while. He got double of what he had. So this is the stage, number one, this suffering for a while. And there are several reasons why people never change. I got so many little things here to give you this morning, I don't have time. Several reasons why people don't change. Number one, too much pain to change. It's too much pain to change. Not worth my while, right? Too much pain. Too much trouble. It would take me too long. All this kind of stuff. Number two, they're too comfortable with where they are. I hate to say it, guys, but we're the worst there is. As long as it keeps working, we don't ever try to fix it. You don't need that crown molding up from the ceiling. Your wife says, hey, put that crown molding up. You ain't never put that. Well, we live in this house. Just say nobody sees it. You get comfortable with it, so you never change. You never do anything. You're just comfortable with it. Uh-oh, I stepped on some toes. And number three, the reason you never change, you learn to tolerate it. Tolerate it. I don't like what's going on, but I just tolerate it. That's no life to live. That's not peace, because you're boiling on the inside, just tolerating it. And that's why people don't change. Number two, After you suffered a while, he said, make you perfect. And this does not mean that you are perfect. He's making you perfect. It's a road of perfection. You will never reach a level to be perfected until you're willing to suffer. It's a progressive thing. When you finally decide, you know, gold cannot be purified without going through fire. You can look at gold and say, be perfect. It will never be until it's tried by fire. And so it is, you have to be tried by fire to come forth as pure gold. And so it is, if you want to be made perfect, we're not ever going to be perfect till we reach the one that is perfect. And then as he is, so shall we be. But I'm on a road to perfection. I hope I'm getting better and better every year and every day that I live for God. Make you perfect. It's a process of God helping us to do better and better every day. And number three, establish you. The Bible uses the word establish, which is the same thing. It means to cause you to stand. You finally make up your mind, come hell or high water, I'm going to stand. But you need more than just in your mind to say, well, bless God, I don't matter what happens to me. What you're going to need is the next thing that God gives you is strength. You can say all you want to, I'm going to stand. If you don't have the strength to stand, you won't stand. You remember the lame man at the gate called Beautiful? There wasn't but one thing wrong with him. You say, well, he was lame. That was a byproduct. That what was wrong with him, he had no strength. When he said, silver and gold have I none, he says, and strength came to his ankle bones. He already had ankle bones. He already had ligaments. He already had muscles. He already had everything. What he needed was strength to stand. And that's what God gives you. When you finally get through the suffering and he starts perfecting you, you say, Lord, I'm going to stand on your promises. We sing those on standing on. Then you're going to need some strength to live out what you sing. You know how many people said, I'm standing on the promises of God and not here today? Because they didn't have the strength to withstand the wiles of the devil. Then number five, he settles you. Lord, the day of settling. That's a whole other message there. The day of settling. The day you grow up, the day you quit acting like a kid, the day that even Paul got weary with him. He said, I got so many things to tell you, but you're not settled. You ain't never grown up. You're still on milk when you need to be on me. You're dull of hearing. Boy, he is scolding them. I don't do that to y'all. Y'all run me off. Settled. It takes a while to be settled. Can you say amen? You look back at your life when you were 18, 15, you weren't settled either. You may be more settled than your kids are, but you weren't settled either. It takes a while to be settled and get your bearings right and go, you know, that's quit this foolishness. I'm going to really live for God. Then closing Ephesians 6 and 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able. Put on part of the armor. No. Put on the whole armor of God. That's the problem. We only want parts of things. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That's the tricks. That's the urge. That's the desires that he puts inside of you of the devil. The only way that you can withstand is to defy him. Defy him. You remember Goliath? He defied the armies of the living God. He challenged them is what he did. And so it is, you can never defy the devil until you draw nigh to God. See, the problem is, we're trying to defy a lion and we're not next to God. If you'll get next to God, the devil, the lion will look at God and quit looking at you. But the problem is, you're so far away from God, he looks at you and says, you can't beat me. But when you get next to God, he ignores you and he looks at God. That's why he said, draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. That you may be able to withstand the wiles or the tricks of the devil. The deceit. Delilah tricked Samson. She tricked him. Tricked him into telling her all of his heart. Several times it took to get all of his heart out of him. But when she finally saw that he had delivered all of his heart, she called him and said, this time he has delivered all of his heart to me. She had what is known as the black widow syndrome. The black widow syndrome, the black widow is a spider, as you know, that coaxes the male spider into having a relationship with her so she can reproduce. And while he is engaged with her, she begins to eat him alive. That's why she's the black widow spider, a widow by choice. And while she gets out of him what she wants out of him, she rolls him in a web or begins to eat him immediately once she gets out of him what she wants out of him. That is a sign of the devil. The devil will promise you, the billboard, the magazines, the things you find will promise you joy and happiness. And you can keep on drinking, you can keep on smoking, you can keep on doing dope, you can keep on doing these things. But the whole time you're doing it, it's eating you alive. It's eating you alive. And you think you're enjoying it, but it's eating you alive. And then she had the last laugh. What the devil wants to do, make you think you can enjoy the world. And while you're enjoying the world is eating you alive. Even the Lord said, know ye not that thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Ephesians 6 and 12 said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let me tell you, the greatest enemy you'll ever fight is the one you can't see. If I can see you, I can fight you. I can swing. But if I can't see you, I don't know where to swing. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand. Have you done everything you know to do to stand? If you haven't, then do it. Do everything you know to do and then stand. Sometimes living for God on earth may not seem worth your while. But my sights are set on heaven. The Bible says to set your affections on things above. My affections, where a man's heart is where his treasure is. There's where my heart is. It's up above. It's not in this world. It's up above. And so I can go through whatever I have to go through on this earth because it's not going to get in the way of me getting. It'll all be worth my while. Whatever I've got to go through, we've all been through stuff. I could tell you my stories. You could tell me yours. But it's been worth my while. Can you say amen? Everything you've been through so far, been worth your while. Amen. People betrayed you. People left you. But let me tell you, it's still been worth my while. I will not give in. I will not give up. I will not run out. Because it is all going to be worth my while to hear him say, well done. Amen. God bless you. Take a quick break and we're going to come back for morning worship in just a few minutes.